BlogTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are here.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell!
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
WildTalkRadio.com, but to our friends over at MBG Films, check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211, and if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in, we greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, or you are subscribed to Dr. Lupo or Tim the Tatman, well, you can use your free sub here. For the Prime Gaming sub, all you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. If you are a subscriber to Dr. Looper, Tim the Tatman, you have a little message up in your inbox that you can use to subscribe. It is somewhat simple, but not really. But on top of it, guys, oh my God, on top of it, it's September. That's right. Now, through the end of the month, you save 20% on new monthly subs and gifted subs. For a limited time, so take advantage of it, and you can do that at the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen. You can also follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive, because we are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
That's a lot you just went through.
I plugged the things!
I know, I'm just saying, there's a lot.
I know.
We're also on Amazon Music now, by the way.
We are on Amazon Music now.
So just search Rack Radio Show there. Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Linton's Ward, twitch.tv/them2live, rackradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com, or the places to be tonight. So we got a variety of subjects to talk about on the show tonight that are, we're very sports and entertainment tonight.
That's right. It's been an interesting week in the world of wrestling and gaming. And you know what? I kind of want to start with the gaming because the biggest news, at least in our world this week, was in gaming. And that is that two mainstays of Twitch are gone. Dr. Lupo and Tim the Tatman have both moved to YouTube. They are now officially YouTube gamers. Like, that is huge.
90 months. How long is that?
A
long time.
7+ years, because...
Yeah, it's a long time.
Anyway. Yeah, it's a little bit over 7 years, because 7 times 12 is 84, so...
Almost 8 years, Tim the Tatman was a partner on Twitch.
And he was on Twitch for like 10 years.
Yeah, Lupo's been around for 6+ years. Those are two big mainstays, big faces of a brand. As it will. Have jumped ship. They went from Twitch streamers and content creators to YouTube gaming streamers and content creators.
It's an interesting move, because especially a couple years ago when Mixer came around and Mixer was courting streamers and they were trying to bring people over to the platform, Lupo and Tim didn't jump. They stayed and they made a big deal about staying with Twitch. But things have changed. And let's all be real, money amongst other things talks. And we know for at least Lupo got a very, very, very good deal financially.
Same with Tim.
So did Tim, but Lupo basically came out and said that he's now set for life because of YouTube gaming. So, go him. He secured the bag in a big way.
They both secured the bag. We didn't get to see what Tim Tatman had to say because it was under Business Insider, and that's a pay window article.
It'll be out soon enough,
but they both talked about it for family. They wanted to take care of the families, and they also can't spend as much time streaming because of the family, and they're gonna, and whatever they would like to do. YouTube does not have the pressure of being on every day. You're not looking at your sub count going, is today the day it drops?
Yeah, well, YouTube has the benefit of you can upload content daily and it doesn't have to be streamed, right? That is the one downfall to Twitch, is that you just can't upload a video to your channel and people watch it. You have to play it, which means you have to be there to start it and stop it, or you have to have somebody there to start it and stop it for you, for people to see it. And then you have to say it's pre-recorded content and you have to go through all this rigmarole and it's just not fun. On YouTube, you can just throw it up on your channel and people get a little notification when they hit the bell. And you're good to go. And you still get all the views and you still get all the benefit of the video being there. You just don't have to be live. So yeah, I think it's a great move, especially for somebody like Tim, who was doing no less than, what, 3 or 4 YouTube channels, where he's recording content for it on a daily basis. So it's great for him because his gaming streams literally become his VOD, right? And they're there forever like they were on Twitch, but then they can take that and they can cut that up and they can disperse that across YouTube as they need to. Mm-hmm. Versus, you know, trying to take it off Twitch and then do everything like that and having to upload it in multiple places. So, mm-hmm. And I think what this also does is it opens up a lot of doors for them creatively. Like, I don't think Tim will get as creative, but I know Lupo is really, really excited about the prospect. I know he and his wife have been talking about it, where they can provide different content that is outside of gaming. Right? Like, it's not just Lupo sitting in his office playing video games. We can see things like behind the scenes videos when they go to Tarkov, like, or when he did that thing with Tarkov, or when he did the thing with Intel, right? And we can see the behind, like, they can record a vlog of the behind the scenes stuff and they can upload that to YouTube and people can see that and enjoy that content from them as well. So it's like, I think for both of them, it's a really great, smart move, just because you can tell for Lupo, I did not get to see Tim stream today. I have to watch Tim stream, but like for Lupo, he's just super motivated. He's super excited. You can just tell that like this was the right move for him.
You can tell the pressure has been lifted off both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they now, if they need to take days off, they can without the worry. There's no more worry. They're financially secure. And like I mentioned at the top, they don't have to worry about the sub count, because when you are a popular streamer, you depend on your sub count. And if you have, hey, one day you're at 15,000 subs and then the next day you're at 10 because you took a day off, that messes with your head.
Yeah. Because then it's, well, how do I get that 5,000 back? And then you put more pressure on yourself. It's just overall a bad, I don't want to say a bad, but not a great...
You're overworking yourself for no reason. You're overworking to stay relevant. Now, you can go create your content at your pace. If you want to keep the same schedule, that's on you. But there is leeway now where it's like, if I only want to put X amount of hours in a month, I can. And I'm making the same amount of money. Anything else is extra.
Yep.
So for that, that's a good move. And I assume others are going to go a long way. And it was 2 years to where, I guess to the day that... Or didn't may have been 2 years and a month from when Mixer got Ninja and got a few others. But it was like Ninja's move really came in like that August-September time frame. 2 years ago, was it? Was it only 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
Cause... Yeah, because he only lasted a month there. But yeah, it's... The gaming space is changing, and for me and Lindsay, we watch gaming streamers all the time because it's great background noise, and we enjoy the personalities involved. And hopefully that's why you guys come back to watching us when we get live with all of our content. For the major content creators, it's like now you have a different platform to use, and now they're gaining success, and the more names you bring over, the better. They have had success bringing over people, giving streaming deals to, say, Laserbeam and Yuzelk, but they're Australian, so like the U.S. region, it's like, okay, that's cool for them, but it doesn't make an impact here. Valkyrie was the big hit over at YouTube Gaming. When she jumped from Twitch, she blew up. Mm-hmm. Instead of getting 1,000 to 5,000 viewers, she's now 15,000 on the low end, and she's, and a peak among us was at 100,000 people.
Well, the big grab for them originally was Courage.
Courage was one of them, yeah.
Yeah, he was, I think, one of the original big grabs that they lured him over to YouTube, and everyone's like, oh my god, Jack, I don't know if that's a good idea. And his career has just exploded since he went to YouTube Gaming, and I think the others have seen that success with Valkyrie and Jack and some of the others, and they're going, and they're seeing that they can do the same amount of work and get the same result.
Mm-hmm.
But they can differ, they can make different things with the work and do different things with the work and get those results that they want. And so I think that's really attractive. And then on top of that, you couple it with, well, Twitch is kind of being problematic. Twitch has its issues. It's not the place to be right now.
Some they created, some they didn't create. Let's be real. Yep. Let's be fair, because they did not create some of the hate stuff. It just, they have to deal with it.
But they still haven't figured out how to deal with it. Deal with it, Twitch, do better. But it's something that, yeah, it's Twitch, it's what's next, right? It's looking to the future and going, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
Is Twitch going to be here in another couple years, or is Twitch potentially, are people moving away from Twitch? Are they going to YouTube? Are they going to Facebook? You know, because it's like with all the different social media platforms and everything that we use, it's like in some cases, consolidation is really nice. Like that you have certain things all in one place and you can just go to it, because it's like YouTube, you know, your favorite streamers are there, your favorite content creators that are not streamers, you know, your favorite video channels, they're there, right? You can just click through and you can get your notifications and you see who's available. It's like the same thing on Facebook. Your favorite streamers are there, and then yeah, everything else that Facebook offers. So it's something like Twitch is just a streaming platform and that's it. And with some of the restrictions on it, you really can't even do as much as you used to be able to do on it, which is fair because we knew rules were going to come into play at some point. Like it was the Wild Wild West for a while. You do pretty much anything you wanted. Well, now they've got like DMCA, they've got, you know, a bunch of other stuff where they're protecting specific content from being used. And that's rightfully so, because it's, you know, other artists' content. You don't want to steal it. But it crimped a style, especially in like the music channels where they're doing covers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, well, they can't do that anymore because it's DMCA. So that cuts a specific level of the content creators out. Watch along parties, you can't really do those depending on the content. Although I think for Amazon approved content, you can.
Yes.
Which y'all could give me HGTV. I'm just saying. Drunk house hunters could be a thing, but y'all won't let me. Just throwing that out there for everybody. Like I could be sitting here on Twitch commentating house hunters completely shit faced and nobody's letting me do that. So just
pointing that out.
I could be making content, but nobody's, because I personally think it's hilarious, but I'm incredibly biased. But Rock's heard it.
I enjoy it.
It amuses him greatly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's looking to the future, and does the future involve Twitch, or is it more for content creation a mix of vlogging and live streaming? Who knows?
We'll have to see.
But yeah, so congratulations to Lupo and congratulations to Tim, and wish them all the best. And if you want to go follow the channels. If you want to subscribe to the channels and become a member, because that's never not going to be a dick joke, go for it. And if you want to follow our YouTube channel, it's what, Rock?
YouTube.com/RockRadioShow.
Like and subscribe! Ding!
When we post our videos once in a blue moon.
Yes. But, you know, like and subscribe. Hit that bell for when we post videos.
Coming soon, Lindsay reacts to Season 8 of Chapter 2 of Fortnite.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be streaming here in a couple weeks, guys, because there's a new Fortnite season coming. And there's an event.
There is.
So there might be an event stream, depending on what it is. So up next, we're going to go into the wrestling news, again, brought to you by our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. Starting with WWE. WWE has signed a brand new batch of recruits to the PC, including Bobby Stevenson, who is the brother of 2020 Olympic gold medalist Gable Stevenson, Ben Buchanan, a former Alabama State High School wrestling champion and the son of former WWE superstar Bull Buchanan, Brady Booker, you want to say something?
Keeping it in the family.
Brady Booker, a former college football player for the University of South Dakota, Jessica Wanilico. I'm sorry if I said your name wrong.
Wanilico,
a gymnast, bodybuilder, and CrossFit athlete. Joshua Dawkins, trained by Devon Dudley, and who is the nephew of NBA legend Daryl Dawkins.
Okay, keeping in the bloodlines.
Bloodlines, keeping in the family.
And
speaking of bloodlines, Joseph Fatu, the younger brother of Jimmy and Jey Uso and the son of WWE Hall of Famer Rikishi. I'm just saying, you know, I know he has to train, but like, if you want to just like fast pass him up and like put him with the group, I think that could be okay.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens there. And also on October 15th and 29th, SmackDown will be on FS1 as it's being preempted for the MLB playoffs.
Which usually happens in October, so a lot of preemptions are going to occur. Same for AEW on the week of the 13th of October. So October 13th, they'll be on Saturday at, I don't know what time, probably 8 on TNT, because on Wednesday is NHL on TNT. And there's probably one or two more times in October they'll be moved as well.
So, moving on to AEW, you bring them up. CM Punk officially retired from MMA. Shocker, I know.
Shocking, I know. But so he doesn't have to take any more drug tests from USADA. I think, is it USADA? Something like that.
Yeah, USADA.
Yeah. So he's off the list now. So he doesn't have to take any more piss tests for them. So.
By the way, I have a rant that I'm going to do on him after this. Brandi Rhodes launched her brand new line. Brandi Rhodes launched her brand new wine. It's called Whoa Baby. It is $24.50 if you'd like to pick that up.
It's a collaboration between Rhodes and Knocking Point Wines.
And it is a rosé, if for anybody that's interested.
It is a rosé, I guess. That's a thing. So it's been a dream of mine to create a wine for a very long time, said Brandi Rhodes. Fans of my YouTube show, Shout Out Brandi, have been anticipating, and now that I'm returning from having a baby, this seemed like a perfect time. I'm looking forward to people toasting all of their accomplishments, large or small, with, whoa, baby, it's the ultimate celebratory rose. Also, Stephen Amell is the co-founder of Knocking Point Wine, so that's basically how, you know, there's the relationship there. There you go.
You know, it's, again, all in the family.
Keeping it in the family.
No, just... collaboration, it's a thing. Moving on, AEW's pay-per-view to stream exclusively online in the US. It will be on Bleacher Report and the Bleacher Report app for $49.99.
Yeah, it'll still be on your regular pay-per-view providers, but the online version will be available on the Bleacher Report stuff. So it's no longer on BR Live, which was an app that I think they retired.
$50 for an online stream?
It's the same cost of a regular pay-per-view.
That's
you better hope hope it works for $49.99. Also, they're in movie theaters as well.
Well, I know they're in movie theaters, but $49.99 for an online stream? I don't know. Maybe I was just spoiled by the network where it was like $10 and you got the pay-per-view for $10 for an online stream. Like, yeah. I $50 for a pay-per-view stream? Like, I won't even do the Disney stuff where it's like $30 on Disney Plus for the movies. Mm-hmm. No, F you, paying $30 for that. I'll wait for it to come out on your service and then I can watch it for free. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just incredibly cheap and I'm because I'm getting old, but like.
my ways are rubbing off on you.
Your ways are rubbing off. I'm sorry. Like $50 for an online stream, like even $50 for a pay-per-view now, it just seems a little absurd. Like, I understand why the price is the price is because fees and salaries and everything else, right? And people got to make money, but thank you.
I'm honestly surprised it's only 50.
I guess, but I think I don't think you could get people to pay more.
Oh, you could. You can get people to pay anything. I thought it was going to be like, I honestly thought the pay-per-view was like $60.
No.
That's how much WWE pay-per-views were?
I know that, but they were on TV.
I'm talking about the TV one. It's still $49.99. I thought the TV one was going to be $60. That was my point. I was not talking about the online. I was talking about the TV one.
Right, but for the online.
That's still expensive. That should be like $25.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. That's just a little much for me.
Because you don't know if it's going to work.
You don't know if it's going to work, and you don't know if it's going to be worth it. Like, that's the thing. And I guess... And I don't know if that's like a one-time thing or you get it for a couple days after that. Like,
you
that
own
would
it.
Be a thing to know.
I think you...
Do you own it?
I think you own it. I'll double check.
I was going to say, did they Disney Plus it where you pay the $50 and you get it for however long you have the app? Because that would make it somewhat worth it then. Like, if you get it after that, like, you want to go back and watch it. But if you pay like $50 and then you have to go
okay,
this, get it again.
Yeah. So, trying to type in for... AWBR. AWBR Live not working. So that's why they moved off of BR Live.
AW Battle Royale.
The ultimate battle. Never mind. Keep going. It's going to take me a minute to find out the stuff.
We're live checking. We're live Googling what the actual offer for the $50 pay-per-view. And I don't know why we're stuck on this or why I'm stuck on the price of $50 for a pay-per-view online, but I'm stuck on it, y'all. It's a thing. I've been trapped in my house for over a year now. Just, that's what happens.
It doesn't tell you?
Oh, okay. It's not specific. I mean, keep an eye on it.
International charge purchase provides access to live stream during event and on-demand replay for event for 72 hours after the event ends.
Okay, that's not bad.
There you go. 72
that
hours.
That makes it a little bit more worth it. Still too much money.
Still too much money, but yes, there you go. 72 hours.
Like, if it was a one and done, I'd be kind of pissed.
I thought
but
you
like,
got it for good. There was something you got for good. Or were they giving back the
love and affection from the AEW call? I mean, family?
Kool-Aid's great, y'all. It's great.
It's a community. It's a community.
It's not a callless community.
Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Anyway, moving on. AEW will be taping AEW Dark in ironic of places. They are going to Universal Studios. That's right. They are invading the old Impact Zone, and they will be taping AEW Dark every week at Universal. Is that right? Every week? Every 2 weeks?
I don't think it's every... It's probably once a month, I would assume, because they're going to tape multiple weeks in a shot, so... I assume it's multiple, once a month.
This is another weird move because you can't sell tickets at Universal. So you're not going to make any money off the ticket revenues. I guess they're hoping to make the money off the YouTube revenue and the merchandise sales?
I'm not 100% sure. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not saying it's bad, but what I'm saying is like, it's just strange that they would take AEW Dark, and I guess if it's only once a month, it's not that bad. Like, it's not like what Impact was doing was every week. But, like, from what we've seen in the past with Impact, they had a really hard time in some instances filling the arena. Because you essentially have to buy tickets to the park to get into the show. And after a while, people just didn't want
to
go.
I don't think you have to buy tickets to the park.
No, I thought you did.
No, I don't think you do. I think you can go... I think there's an area where you can go that brings you into the studio. There's its own separate line.
No, I thought Universal was like, I thought you had to buy something to get into Universal and then you could do the show. Like, it wasn't the full part, but you have to pay, I thought, to get in because they don't let you in for free unless it's like you're doing like a TV show. Are they going to do it just a live studio audience like every month? Like,
yeah,
they're just going to put out a casting call?
They're going to, I can get more details on it, but I believe there you can, because I'm looking up too many different things. I think you own one, I think you own the pay-per-view. Because they're transferring all older pay-per-views that were on the BR Live app to the new Bleacher Report app. So if you own a pay-per-view before, it'll be migrated over, or it's migrating over. So I think you own every pay-per-view you purchase. So that's worth $50 then, a little bit more, if you own it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like the stream, like the 72 hours is like a stream thing, and then you own it or something, I believe it is. So that's one thing. Keep going on the other thing. I'm looking up information about it because I kind of have something. Just keep going.
Well, I thought that was always the problem with Impact, that like you had to pay to get into like the park, and people didn't want to pay to get into the park. Unless Universal has since, obviously, probably since changed that policy, because that was the deal where like Impact could not sell tickets to the TV tapings, and that was a huge revenue hit for them, and that's one of the reasons why they could never really make money, was that they were taping Impact every week or every other week or once a month or whatever their filming schedule was, and they could not sell tickets, and so they were relying solely on like the advertising revenue, which there wasn't a ton of, the merchandise sales, I think the food sales, to sort of carry the shows, and they could never quite balance it because they were touring, they were doing live events, and that was helping. But again, the TV tapings were a big deal. I think that was one of the reasons eventually that they just went out on the road, was they just weren't getting the foot traffic at Universal. They weren't able to sell tickets, and they just needed to make money, so they just jumped to the road. That's how I remember that.
I think it was more that they had to make money than more than them needing ticket, like not being able to get people in the building. I think they needed to make money at that point.
Yeah,
I think you can go. It's free to get in. To it. Don't know, but I'm still trying to find the other stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll keep you posted on that. But to me, it's an interesting move because you would think that they would do it, especially if it's like once a month at like Daly's Place, which they own, and you shoot it once a month at Daly's Place, you bring people in because then you can charge ticket revenue for it. But they may not want to use, obviously, they don't want to use Daly's Place.
Because one, they're running out Daly's Place to concert and stuff, and two, you have to make it look full, you need a few thousand. This is going to be a couple hundred people. That's the difference. Why they can't, they wouldn't use Daly's Place. And he was talking about today, Tony Khan, he wants to make it back. He wants to use AEW Dark, to mimic what WCW Worldwide back in the early 90s was, a way to develop talent and put on the young people. Like, way back in the day, you had Triple H on Worldwide and Edge when they first came into the business and a bunch of others. So that's what they're looking to do.
Not relying on nostalgia at all.
Just taking what's worked from the past and making it new in 2021. That's where we are at the stage of the game. That's where we are at the stage of the game, Lindsay. Just don't deny that's where we are.
Sorry. Anyway, moving on. So if you want to go, check AEW's website because I'm sure they'll have all the information. Moving on, NWA was out and about. Empower had two shows this weekend. You had the All Ladies pay-per-view on Saturday, and then you had the regular pay-per-view on Sunday. And it was quite a noteworthy affair on Saturday, so much so that we had an Awesome Kong appearance where she wrestled.
She saved Gail Kim from Taryn Terrell and her ladies.
There we go. I know she didn't do a full match, but it's like I just didn't know if she like whooped up on somebody or not.
She came out and saved Gail Kim.
There you go. And after she was triumphant and saved Gail Kim, Awesome Kong waved farewell to professional wrestling forever. She has officially retired from the business. So congratulations to Kong on her wonderful career. Thank you for all her contributions because she was truly awesome. She was amazing.
She was amazing Kong.
She was amazing Awesome Kong. Like she's just, I remember getting to see her live like back in the day. Like, and I feel old saying this, but I remember like
back in the mid 2000s
where Impact was touring and they came here and I was able to get tickets and go. She was spectacular. She still is. I'm not saying that she's like gotten any less, but yeah, she was something to see. And I'm kind of sad that like it didn't work out a little bit better for her in terms of when she moved on to WWE, because I think she could have been something special and it just didn't work out for her.
Timing just didn't work out for her.
Yeah, the timing was very unfortunate. So but she still had a spectacular career and deserves all the praise. So if you get a chance, drop her a line, say congratulations and all the happy thoughts, because This last one sucks. So the other big story that we have to talk about, and we're going to do this, we're not trying to bring anybody down with this, but there is very unfortunate news. Unfortunately, former WCW superstar Daphne has passed away. It was announced today, and this is just really, really sad and really unfortunate. Please tell people you love them. Please be kind to people. And most importantly, if you're in a bad place mentally, please seek help. Please reach out to people and tell people that you need help. If you feel like you're going to do something to yourself, call the National Suicide Prevention Line. They are there for you. They are there to help you. This is just sad.
It is very, very, very sad. WWE's issued statements. AEW's issued a statement. If you need help, seek help. Jake Atlas put this out on Twitter, and he doesn't want to make it about him, as he says in his tweet, but to him, WWE paid for 6 months of therapy for him. And he says, quite literally, saved my life. So if you're truly struggling from mental illness, don't hide. Reach out.
Yeah. And the last year has been hard on everybody.
Oh, yeah.
You're not alone in the fact that a lot of people are suffering from depression. They're suffering from anxiety. They're suffering from all kinds of mental health problems. And that is the reason that the help is there, is to get you through it. You don't have to suffer it alone. You're not deficient for having those feelings at all. A lot of people have them. just make sure that you get help for them. Because it can be overwhelming, and it can be really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel like you're getting overwhelmed, reach out. Because I promise you, people will be there to take your hand and help you get through it. I swear it. So with that,
let's go to NXT.
Let's do NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So what, we are, 2 weeks away? 3 weeks away? 2 weeks? From the wedding, a little under three weeks away from the wedding now. Or 2 weeks, a little under 3 weeks away from the wedding, whatever. I know time and space. The wedding of Index, in case you're wondering. This show was pretty solid this week.
I liked this show. I thought it was entertaining. I thought it was good.
So, it opened with Saraya and Mandy Rose. This was the best Mandy's looked in a while. She looked comfortable in the ring.
She did look comfortable in the ring. They obviously sent her back down there to get potentially a little bit more training, or she went back down there to get a little bit more training. And she's looking a lot better. I like her with the two girls.
Gigi and JC.
Gigi and JC. Like, it's a nice little group that they've got going on. She's a good sort of leader for that. I'm liking this. I'm digging this. I like it a lot better than when she was doing where she was, like, the golden goddess or whatever. Like, this feels like it's a much better fit for her, that she's a lot more comfortable doing it. Because before, it was just her only purpose was to be sexy, and it's like she can still be sexy and still be a boss at the same time. So, I like it a lot.
Alright, I want to address something first. Well, by the way, Saraya defeated Mandy Rose on count after that awesome dropkick by Saraya. Woo!
That dropkick is lethal.
It is very, very lethal. They covered her face and grabbed her and took her away for the count out. It was good. It was a nice finish. To address LeMans in chat about the producer of NXT, please do not jump the gun on anything.
It's concerning,
but
let's give it a chance. Let's see what it does and what it is, because obviously there's a plan.
Also, the day-to-day operations are not Vince McMahon.
Well, I don't think necessarily concerned about the day-to-day operations. I think people are concerned about the production of the TV show and how it's going to be written and how it's going to be put across and that kind of thing, because we've seen what's happened with kind of Raw and to a certain extent SmackDown, and I think people don't want to see that happen to NXT, because that's what I think people liked about NXT for a long time, was that it was so different from Raw and SmackDown. It had its own vibe, its own feel, and it may still have that. We don't know.
And it also could be going back to the product everyone loved 7 years ago. We talked about this last week. They're going back to a different way of doing things and how they're presenting people. They were doing that 7 years ago and everyone loved it. So
I just kind of wonder what led to it, because it's like Vince was always so hands-off with NXT, and I guess it's because they went under competition and they didn't succeed, that's what got Vince's attention, and he and Bruce are like, oh, we're going to come in and whip this into shape, or whatever they said. I don't know if they actually said that. But, like, it's just interesting that Bruce Pritchard and Vince McMahon are taking this on personally, and Hunter's kind of being shuffled out.
No, okay. Hunter, Shawn, Regal, etc. are still in charge of NXT and still going to do the daily, day-by-day stuff with NXT and still producing the show, etc., etc. Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard will probably have some say in it and whatever
more
they... Just go with it. They'll have some say in what they want their direction is, and Hunter and Shawn will have to see their direction out and such. Because I don't see a 70-something-year-old man traveling to Florida every week.
Oh, God, no. He's going to send Bruce down there, and Bruce is going to report back. That's what's going to happen.
We'll see how long Bruce wants to do that. Anyway, number two on this whole thing was the reason why Vince and Bruce are getting more hands-on is because, they lost the war, and two, it's on USA, so they have to present a product that USA is happy with and make sure they're continued to be happy. So that's why when it was on the network, Vince was hands-off. Now on television, and there's money to be had, so Vince has to stay involved.
Well, I mean, they could stop firing their top talent, and that would be a really good way to keep the networks happy.
Anyway.
I'm just saying.
Moving on, because we did this rant last week, and I don't want to do it again.
I know, I'm just throwing it out there.
I know. Tommaso cut a really good promo, talking up his match tonight against... with Rich Holland, so we'll talk about that in a minute. But Kyle O'Reilly took on Duke Hudson. Pretty solid match between the two.
I'm starting to kind of dig Duke Hudson a little bit. Like, I'm liking the swagger that's going on there. He and Kyle, they mixed very, very well together. I like how they're sort of working and intertwining him into the roster. So, yeah, I think I'm starting to dig him a little bit. He's got a little something going on there.
Well, man, you don't know what the product is, so you don't know if people will tune in or not. Reigns been up the last 2 weeks for whatever they've been focusing on different talent.
At least give it a chance. Like, it could be exactly the same, or it could be something different. Like, I think what's got a lot of people worried and scared is the logo and the way that the logo looks, because they've got like the bright colors and it's very artsy and it's a complete departure from what the NXT logo is now in terms of all the scheme. But it's like, that could be one version of the logo, because the way that's designed is it's really designed to be incredibly versatile, and so they can make it really whatever they want it to be. That may not be the final scheme on it.
Also, if you made the background black, guess what? It's dynamite. Anyway, Kyle O'Reilly beat Duke Hudson.
Moving on.
No, we can go back to it. I was just throwing it in there. If you legitimately make the background black, it's dynamite.
Yeah, but it's like, it could be a lot, the logo could be a lot like what they do with the Marvel logo treatment, where they can put anything they want in the Marvel logo, and then in the end they take it to the actual Marvel logo. So it's a very similar concept to what they did to NXT. So it's like they could just have the paint scheme in there for it to be all bright and colorful, because, I mean, it's very dark and gothic. And the one thing that we have heard right since the beginning of this whole like changeover is that they want to make it a much lighter, brighter show. They feel like it's far too dark. And so they're going to brighten it up. They're going to breathe some life into it, so to speak. Not that it really needs it, but, you know, basically make it not as oppressive feeling, because it is a little dark, because Hunter's into that kind of shit. So, you know, it's like it's reflecting more of like his metal and the darkness, because you see a lot of those characters that are getting put out there, and they have the brooding entrances. And yeah, I mean, that's what the show is. So I think they're trying to, you know, make it lighter and brighter and maybe appealing to more people. No word yet on if Poppy is going to appear again, but I'm sure she will.
No, we'll get Wale now. That's okay.
Does Vince know who Wale is?
Yes. 100% yes. We had Ilya Dragunov limp to the ring to talk about how he survived his fight with Walter.
I have no idea. I don't know anything about this man, but I respect this man because he knows how to dress himself. Like, impeccably. I respect you, Ilya, wholeheartedly. Like, you did not need to send that hard with that whole turtleneck, slack, dress, shoe, or loafer, or whatever the hell it was, thing. He walked out there looking like a goddamn Bond villain, and it was good. It's like, I respect you, sir, wholeheartedly. Like he even had the little, like, face thing going on, but it was like, I could get into this. I'm okay with this.
Kaylee Ray,
I don't remember anything he said, but I remember the outfit.
He all he said was, I saw he survived. That's the premise of it. He took down the ring general, and he long live the czar, and that's all he basically said as the fans just chanted for him. So he's going home, and he'll be back some point. That's what we got out of him.
You go off. You go drink some vodka.
You go conquer Europe now.
Yes.
Kaylee Ray talked about coming over to the U.S. and becoming a top player in NXT, because there needs to be a shakeup in the NXT women's division.
It's not wrong.
So we'll see what she's capable of.
From what I've seen of her, she's very, very talented. So we'll see. I mean, she was one of the... She's not the long... Or is she the longest reigning women's champion?
She might be now.
Did she surpass Rhea?
She may have. I don't know off the top of my head. Carmelo Hayes was interviewed. He talked about the possibility of challenge for various titles, and then Electra Lopez showed up and said the North American Championship is Santos' title to win. Then Santos and Cruz showed up. He gave Hayes a one-time pass because he wants to be able to walk into his opportunities. Escobar said it would be wise to stay out of this business.
Okay, I'm just going to say this, and I know I've said this before, but whoever decided that we need to have goddamn mafias in NXT, I love you. I love you so much, because this whole thing that they're doing with Santos and the crew, I am here for it. I am 100% into this. I have no idea why. It's just like the Bloodline stuff that they're doing on SmackDown. It's the goddamn mafia, and they're here for you. Like, they're gonna take everything you own, but we're all fine with it. Like, this is what they're doing with Hit Row and Legado del Fantasma, I love this. Like, this is really, really good stuff to me. I don't know why. I'm weird. I'm sorry. But I just love the vibe that it gives off. Because it's like they're both trying to go for the same thing and they're really, really, really serious about it. But they're being civil to each other. Right? It's not like the you have the good guys and the bad guys who where it's like the heels or whatever being the smart ass or the heel or the faces being the smart ass. No. They're being rather gentlemanly about it, and they're just like, you know what? Fuck you. No, fuck you. Let's fight. Like, that's how this is going, but you still have the brawls and stuff breaking out
mm-hmm.
in this, like, turf war, and it's just...
It is a turf war.
It's a turf war! Like, I don't know how else to describe it, but it's like it's a turf war, and I love it! Like, I don't know who is behind the whole Hit Row Legado del Fantasma storyline, but goddamn, you genius! I love this! It's so good!
Imperium beat Drake Maverick and Grayson Waller.
Drake. Like, I feel like he have done, like, nothing with Drake since he came back.
Well, they were that's incorrect, because they were building something, and then they got COVID, and his partner got fired, and...
I know, but it just feels like...
He had some random circumstances happen that were unfortunate.
It just feels like they haven't done a lot with him.
We had Indy Hartwell talking to Johnny, and he's like, give Dexter a chance.
This is so awesome.
And Gargano's getting annoyed as Loomis puts his glove on and he's like, be normal! Before we got to the match, we saw Gigi and JC leaving Saray laying in the backstage area.
Okay, before we go to the match, can we just talk about how Dexter Loomis and Indy Hartwell shot their shots today by sending out wedding invites on Twitter? Indy invited The Undertaker. You go, girl! You go! You go for the expensive gift. He probably won't come, but you send him the wedding registry and you just, like, slide that over there. You probably should have included his wife, because she would more than likely get the gift. But you go, because you shot that shot. Like, Dexter invited Cena. I have no idea if, like, Cena accepted. Like, I'm trying to go through Twitters while we're talking, just to see who responded, because some people did respond. Oh, Dexter invited The Undertaker, too. Okay, all right. They both went for it. They're going for the good gift. I see them. I see them. Bravo. Good job. Send him the registry. But I told Rock this, and it's kind of a missed opportunity that they didn't go on, like, the Knot, or they didn't create, like, a website that was essentially Indy and Dexter's wedding page, and they didn't, like, create either, like, a fake registry, or they didn't set up, like, a link where you could donate to charity in lieu of getting them gifts. Like, they could have, like, full sent on this, and they didn't do it, and that's fine. That's completely fine, but I'm just saying, like, y'all could have gone on, like, theknot.com and, like, just set up a whole website for them and had, like, really awkward engagement photos and just, like, the whole 9 yards, especially since there's, like, a month between the proposal and the wedding. Like, y'all just could have, like, done the whole spiel and you didn't do it. But it's fine. It's fine because you have them sending invites on Twitter. Is it wrong I want Taker to come now?
I want Taker
in the back.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Like, a full Taker gear and you just have Mark in the back, like, sitting there. I'm sorry, I'm a nerd. But, yeah, no, I would love to see, like, everybody that they invited, like, actually show up to the wedding. Because they invited, like, Cena and Bobby Lashley and Taker and Nick Aldis. And,
they really
like,
go,
they were just tweeting people.
Nice, okay. Johnny took on LA Knight.
This was good. This was entertaining.
Yeah. There were some moments between Johnny and Dexter and stuff like that. And the ending kind of cost Johnny as Loomis was reaching out.
Well, that's what he did in the locker room, right? Like, he reached out to Johnny and Johnny just walked off.
And he also did it on the entrance, too.
Yeah. And so, like, there's kind of this moment in the match where Dexter saves Johnny. Like, he catches him from falling, and Johnny's like, ew, no, get away from me. And then at one point, LA Knight's going for Johnny, and Dexter comes between LA Knight and Johnny and saves Johnny and knocks LA Knight away. And the two kind of have a little, like, moment where it's like, okay, all right, because Dexter's trying, right? Like, Dexter's trying to be the good future son-in-law and bond with his father-in-law and everything. And Johnny's like, no, he's having none of this. And there's this moment between the two where it's like, okay, maybe you're not so bad. Like, you're trying, you're looking out for me, you're looking out for my daughter, And Indy the whole time is like, yeah, 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 you're having a moment. Yeah, this is great. This is good. Okay, all right. If I can get Johnny on board, I've got Candace too, so we're gold. And, you know, Dexter reaches out to Johnny, right? Like, I love you. Here's my hand. And Johnny's reaching back, and unfortunately, that's what cost Johnny the match.
Yeah. We had the announcement of Ming Ying.
Wait, no. I wasn't done. I'm not done yet.
Okay.
I just want to say, this is going to end in either, like, the biggest I told you so ever in the history of wrestling for Johnny and Candace when Dexter eventually betrays all of them, or this is going to be the most glorious wrestling wedding we have ever fucking seen in our lives. I'm just saying, like, whatever this is going to be magnificent. I have such high hopes for this. I'm sure I will be disappointed, but I just can't wait for, like, the Bachelor and Bachelorette parties, which we all know are coming. I really want video of Indy shopping for her dress. Like, I really want them to full send this. I really, really do. Like, I actually want, and they don't have to put it on the show, but just think about putting this out on, like, social, right? The whole say yes to the dress experience for Indy. Like, they go to fucking Kleinfeld's, or they go to a bridal shop, and Indy does the whole dress shopping with, like, Beth and Candace and some of the other girls, and Johnny and Dexter and some of the boys have a bonding experience. They had the bachelor party. Like, I don't know why I want all this, but I want all this. Because I think just Johnny and Candace and everybody else would own the shit out of it. Especially Johnny. Like, imagine Johnny having to go dress shopping.
That'd be funny.
That would be hilarious. Like, the family goes dress shopping. Like, come on. It's good TV.
Really good TV.
Okay, I'm done. You can go now.
I can continue on the show now. Mi Ying of Tian Shaw will have her first match next week on NXT.
So did Xia Li just, like, disappear?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, this isn't bad.
She's on the elevator somewhere.
She's on the elevator somewhere? Okay. Because, yeah, it's just like there's just no reference to what happened to her. She's just
on an elevator somewhere now, just waiting.
Gone.
She's just gone on an elevator, waiting. Raquel Gonzalez beat Jesse Kamea, I think it is. You had Gonzalez and smack talk Frankie Monet after the match.
So we're building a little something between them. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Ember Moon took some offense to Kaylee Ray's smack talk because she mentioned Ember Moon during the interview, and we're going to see them in a match next week.
Shut up and take my money. Please just shut up and take my money, because that will be good.
Samoa Joe was interviewed by Wade Barrett, talked about coming back and winning the championship, and talked about his legacy, and how he needs to carry it on, and he'll show the world why. He said that he shows the world will be the way to championship goal, and he said anyone can step up and seize their destiny. Solid promo.
Very solid promo. We're all here for Joe's champion.
Mm-hmm. Roderick Strong defeated Eichmann Giro. We've added members to the Diamond Club, the Diamond Mine, as it were, so that's good.
We're rebuilding the Diamond Mine after they mined it out.
Io and Zoe will defend their titles against Casey Catanzaro and Kaden Carter next week, and the challengers are best friends and champions are not, and Io still doesn't like Zoe, but they'll win. That's basically the basis of that promo.
I don't know if I like this pairing of Zoe and Io. Like, I feel like I was originally, but then it's like it's kind of cooled off because they just haven't really done a lot with it. So
they were a makeshift pairing because of reasons that they had to get the belts off of Candace and Indy.
Yeah.
So it's people are wondering, oh, why haven't they defended us? Because they didn't have a plan with this. This was something they had to do because of personal reasons with Candace.
But I like what Io's doing with it. Like, I like how Io's owning it. I'm not sure I'm crazy about the pairing, because it just doesn't seem like it's working quite right.
Kevin Grimes was being interviewed, and he was interrupted by the Zach Gibson and James Drake. They were taunting him, and Grimes ended up dropping the belt on Gibson's foot.
So good. I thought he was just going to walk off with it. But so, no, he's like, okay, all right, I'm just going to throw this on your foot now. Bye!
And then there was your main event, Tommaso Ciampa and Reed Holland. Pretty good match. Tommaso got the win, a surprise, but then he got beat down and then ran off by MSK, who will be fighting Lurkin and Birch, I think, next week.
I like this mix of Tommaso and Reed Holland. I like that they're just going hard on Rich Holland. And although it's a little confusing because for the group, you can't really tell who the leader is between Ridge and Pete. Like, I think it's Pete, but the way that they're setting Ridge up is kind of like they're right there together. And I'm sure that will lead to friction between the two at some point, and that will cause them to split. But I like how they have, like, Rich Holland got injured a year ago. He had the compound fracture. And, like, literally as he debuted, and then they just brought him back and they picked the ball up right back up with him and they run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting the original push that he was supposed to get. And it's probably better, not that I want anybody to get injured, but it's probably better that that happened for him that way, because he would have been in the no fan era and that just would have been no fun. So he's got people back to cheer for him and they can get a good reaction for him. So yeah, I like this. I thought it was a really good mix. It was a good main event. Looking forward to see where they're headed with it.
That's NXT.
And that's NXT. So we are going to take our first and only break of the evening. And when we come back, guys, we're going to change gears. We're going to get out of wrestling and we are going to do a tier list. That's right. We are going to be rating all the Fortnite events to date and we will let you know what we liked and what we didn't like. I'll tell you this much, there's not a lot that we didn't like. So, you know, may not be as exciting as you think, but we'll make it exciting. So you're listening to Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
Available now. The Rack Extra reviews Madden NFL 22. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Get in the game now with the Rack Extra Reviews Madden NFL 22.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate. A part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight as Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f- moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw post show, Monday nights 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins, and you're listening to the Rack Radio Show. Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WallTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you are on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and subscribe for free. It is that simple. Also, if you were subscribers of Dr. Lupo or Tim the Tatman and you would like to redeem your free sub here, well, you can do that too. Hit the little inbox button up at the top and hit the email that they sent you or the little message they sent you, and you can subscribe here for free for 30 days as well. And it's also September. There's so much to plug. Now, for a limited time, I believe till the end of the month, you will get 20% off any new subscription or any gifted sub that you give. Like, guys, it's awesome. You get 20% off. That's so cool. All you have to do is hit the little purple button again down at the bottom of the screen to subscribe for 20% off. You can also follow the channel or hang out in chat or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you.
Before you go on, I believe it, that's presented by Grubhub.
Yes, presented by Grubhub. So thank you, Grubhub. And with that, toy of the week.
I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Kayla Braxton. Today, an attractive policeman was jaywalking. Figured I would jaywalk as well to shoot my shot. As we approached each other, I told him he was breaking the law, but like in a cute, flirty way. Wonder if I can pay this ticket off in installments.
I don't think you can.
I don't think you can.
I mean, maybe you can get a payment plan, I don't know.
Go flirt with the cops at the, or the guy at the government center, or the people at the government center, and see if you can.
The,
I don't know.
The judge.
The judge. Go flirt with the judge. Actually, no, I think depending on the ticket, you don't go before a judge. You just go, like here in certain instances, you just go pay the fine. You don't go before a judge.
I don't know. I'm just basing this off of TV.
Okay, this is not TV.
Isn't everything TV?
No.
I was basing off of TV.
We would be a lot richer if this was TV.
True, true. I'm just basing off experience of watching How I Met Your Mother. That's all.
So Pat McAfee. Hey, Adam Cole. Consider this tweet a legit contract offer to be Ty Schmidt and Boston Connor's assistant. $22,000 a year, no benefits, but you'll be able to build your resume. We'll need to know your answer sooner than later. And it's a gif of Michael Jordan holding out his hand going, deal? Adam Cole responds, I'll think about it. I'm kidding. I hate you.
Love the feud continues.
The consistency. Whips! What we thinking at Tim the Tap Man, and is a picture of two doors where one says raise and the other says a Twitter verified mark on it. Cloaksy responds and goes, where's the fire door? Whips, don't care, plus move to Florida, hashtag phase up. Mr. Beast, Tim the Tap Man, I was excited to support your first YouTube stream, but then you said waffles are better than pancakes and my morning is ruined. Whips responds, let's be real, he would eat both.
True.
On stream.
On stream. I watch this Warzone.
So now I'm going to go through the entire invite list to the wedding so far.
Okay.
So no particular order, because they shot some shots here. Dexter has invited Tommy Dreamer.
Okay. Well, he's involved in everything, so yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie McMahon.
Smart.
Tony Hinchcliffe.
Who?
He's a comedian.
Okay.
MVP.
Okay.
Jason Voorhees.
Okay.
Zombie.
Keeping with the theme there. Okay, got it.
Rick Rubin.
Okay.
Joe Rogan.
I wouldn't invite him anywhere.
Yeah.
Even though I liked him back in the day, I don't like him so much now.
Yeah, he's like kind of, yeah.
I liked him back on news radio. Anyway. Continue.
John Cena.
I mean, you won't be able to see him, but hey, good shot.
He'll be there. John Carpenter.
Theme. Continue.
He's into specific things, you know. Steve Austin.
What?
Boogeyman.
Theme.
Ron.
Damn.
Sasha Banks.
Okay.
Edge.
Okay. Well, makes sense. Edge would be there. Was the plus one. I mean, that should have been given.
Yeah. Tony Todd.
Okay.
Al Snow.
I mean, if you want a certain... Okay, never mind. Just keep going.
Well, Al responded saying he's bringing a plus one, and Dixter tweeted out hashtag head.
There you go.
Nick Aldist.
Former NWA champion.
Billy Corgan.
NWA. Okay. The TNA stuff. You got it?
Mick Foley.
Have a nice day.
Bill Ashley.
Almighty.
Undertaker.
Rest in peace.
And then Indy invited Bailey.
Hugs.
She doubled up on the Sasha.
Okay.
Doubled up on the Taker.
Okay.
She invited Shayna.
Okay.
And that's all her invites. But I just like how they just like sent out these random with a picture of the actual physical invite that they're using on TV to all these people. Please God, let the Undertaker respond, please. Oh Jesus, Mark, get on Twitter. He's probably gonna see it and he's gonna be like, what the fuck is this?
Is that it?
That's it.
Caleb Braxton, 2 days ago I spent hours cleaning my house, organizing my closet, and getting rid of things I didn't need. When I finished, I was so proud and vowed to never let my place get messy again. Fast forward to this current moment, and I can't find my bedroom floor.
That's all of us.
I figured you could relate to that.
But I have had those moments where you're like, oh, I'll clean it later, and then you come back like 2 weeks later, and you're like, oh, right, I meant to clean that. Just because I hate cleaning so much. I abhor it. Especially the shower. I hate cleaning like bathtubs and showers. It's awkward.
Johnny Gargano, I currently have 3 different Talk to a Veterinarian Now apps on my phone for PodMe. In case anyone wonders what type of parent I'm going to be when a human baby shows up. Indy, you think the baby is just going to, quote-unquote, show up, like knock on the front door? Johnny responds, the baby, in a gif of, I am the one who knocks. And he goes, after that goes, you probably have no idea what this is. And then she goes, isn't that Star Wars? Let's see. Did that one. Courage JD. I'm surprised YouTube could fit 2 fat streamers on their platform. At Tim the Tap Man. Props to the engineering team. And finally, Wrestling Online. I see Roman Reigns was right. The needle was moved backwards. Acknowledge him. Wink. And that is Tweet of the Week.
Alrighty. So now we're going to do a Fortnite tier list where we go through all the different events over the past multiple seasons. I don't even know how many seasons we're going through at this point. To rank them from best to...
I changed it up a little bit because as you teased, it's like we liked a really liked a bunch of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the categories are underwhelming, like that's bottom tier. We have solid, epic, and legendary.
Okay.
I think that's better than doing S tier, A, B, C, and D. It's like, here are 4 different categories because there's 14 different events. And it's like, some are epic, but they weren't legendary. So it's like, you can have, and some are just solid, and then you go from there.
Like, because some of them, yeah, it's like, and when we say underwhelming, it's just based on some of the more legendary ones that we really, really liked and really stick in your mind.
Like, let's start with an underwhelming one, all right? We'll start with, I believe it's called the Ice Storm with the Snow King.
That was cool, but yeah,
That was underwhelming.
Yeah, because that was just basically, we're going to have the Ice King burst out of the thing and he's going to cover the map in snow, which was a cute little thing to do for Christmas. But there was no other real, like, change beyond that. So, yeah, I would say that's a little underwhelming.
Because it got nerfed a little bit because we had the sword, and they got rid of the sword, and then you had this Ice King, and it's like, but you got rid of his sword. So it's like, it was just sort of a thing that it could have been better. It, like, visually it was cool, but the event itself was a little underwhelming. So that's what would fit there. Okay, so now pick another one. You can start at the top if you want. It's up to you.
So let's talk about it. The Rocket event. This was the OG sort of in-game event that they did for Fortnite. This is where they shot the rocket off originally, and it created the rifts in the sky, and this is how we got the rifts that led to a lot of the stuff that we're seeing now.
Yeah.
This was really before I started playing the game. I thought this was cool, but I had to watch it on Twitch. So I wasn't in the game. You were actually in the game, and it was a little bit complicated because this was when they were first starting to figure events out. And so you could still be killed and miss the event, like that dude that took out a platform and killed like 50 people the event.
So the original Rocket event was an in-game moment, as the season has gone on, we've had playlists where the event happened. This was the first ever in-game event where the rocket appeared and did its thing and went through all the things, and the build-up to it was really cool. Every day we would check. I think you were playing a little bit. You were wandering around with us, I think.
Had released, I think, Playground. Like, I think I started playing at the tail end of that season, but I had to work or something, and I couldn't be in the game for the rocket event.
Yeah. but it was something where, like, the event happened, it was in-game, but the build up to it was really cool, like the different stages of the rocket preparing, and it was a villain lair and everything like that, and you saw a building and stuff, and then it was shooting off, and it was a really cool moment. Where I'd rank it, I don't know, like, it's a historical moment, which is legendary, but compared to other events since, I think it goes to epic.
See, I was going to put it in solid.
Okay. Why?
Just because it was cool. It was the very first event that they ever did in game. But when you look at what they've done since and how they've progressed since, I don't think it puts it quite in the epic category. I would put it at a very solid, bordering on epic, but just basically the rocket takes off and then it flies through the sky and it creates the rifts and then it goes away, right? Like that was what happened with it. When you look at other events that we're going to talk about here
as
moving
we go
forward, it just doesn't stand up.
Okay, so I'll agree with that. In terms of that, it would also say it would be the top tier of solid. Like that's the benchmark of it. Everything else should fall below it. All right, what's next?
So up next we have Kevin the Cube, and this was born in one of the Fortnite tourneys where Kevin appeared out of the sky. His dad's Ninja and Dr. Lupo are very proud of him because he's just taken off in the career. But yeah, this was weird. This was completely unexpected. They did it in the middle of a Fortnite tournament.
I believe it was the Summer Skirmish. It appeared. And when we talk about the Kevin and Cube event, we have to talk about the entire thing. Not just
where just rolled around the map.
This was our life for weeks.
We chased that cube all over the goddamn map.
Playground was a thing, so we spent hours. And I'm legit talking about hours. Following this cube around this map, waiting for that moment for it to tip. Just tip once. And then it would take another hour or so for it to move again. And we watch it tip. It just tipped and tipped and tipped, and we kept watching where it was going, tracking its path. And then Kevin the Cube would eventually make its home in the Loot Lake and then become this gooey mess in the lake where you could just bounce.
That was the best ever. Because Loot Lake sucked across, and then they had Kevin fall in the lake, and the lake just became this giant bounce pad, right?
Yeah.
And you could just bounce across it. It was great for rotation. It's like, please leave this, and of course they didn't.
It was only for like 2 or 3 days, too. But it was like back when they had like the spiky stadium and stuff with it, so you had all the impulses, and you just impulse your friends and playground with the impulses and just go crazy with it. It was fantastic. For me, Kevin's legendary.
Yeah, Kevin, and Kevin is really, like, that's his birth, but Kevin has been an ongoing
fixture
throughout Fortnite, where they have carried him through since Season 5, because it's like then he lifted up out of the lake, and he picked up one of the center island, and that led to another, like, Kevin was really the first, I don't want to say he was, like, the first, but it was, like, the really big part of the story. It was kind of before we really got the 7. It was kind of before we really got anything. Kevin was that first real good piece of lore that we got, right? Where it was like this thing has carried throughout the seasons, and it has tied from chapter 1 to chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
And has come through. Like, there's a reference to Kevin in the current game itself. And if you look at the aliens that are in the current season, they're the ones Kevin, it looks like, came from them, or Kevin is their technology in some way, shape, or form that got sent to the island. We don't know why, but either they sent Kevin, or Kevin came from them, or something. And so it's a huge part of the lore of Fortnite itself. Like, the rocket is too, because the rocket ties to the 7. But like I said, we didn't know about the 7 when the rocket happened. That ties in
You knew a little, but not the backstory.
We knew about the Visitor, and that's how the rocket ties into the Visitor in kind of the 7, but I don't think they had referenced them yet. We just knew it was the Visitor, but nobody really knew who he was or what he was about until much later in the game. I would say Kevin, just for all the continuity that has gone through with Kevin, is legendary.
So Kevin then became a floating island, which led to the butterfly event and the creation of Leaky Lake. Where would you put that?
I would put the butterfly event, and I didn't get to be a part of this one because I was off doing something. But based on what I've seen for it, I would put it at the very least epic. Just because this was really one of the first interactive events that they did, where they finally figured out how to turn off that kill feature in the game and let people just run around in the event and have fun, so they wouldn't miss the event. But this was a full-on immersive interactive experience where we actually saw in the game and the storyline potentially the timeline shift, or something happened in the reality where we went from the destruction of Kevin and like the island lifting up and everything like that to the center of Leaky Lake, where it's this beautiful garden and you have the shards of Kevin, and they made just this really great ending. But the best was you get to touch the butterfly. Like, you catch the butterfly. Everybody got to catch the butterfly.
See, I had it between solid and epic, so we can go epic with it.
I just thought it was really cool because it was the first interactive event that they did, and they figured out how to turn off the kill stuff.
All right, what's the next one?
The Marshmallow Concert.
This was so cool. We went to a few of the concerts, right? I think, yeah.
Yeah.
This was great.
This was so neat.
It was the first. This was the first fully interactive event where it's like, and it happened live.
Yeah.
It's a live thing, and it's like, oh, this is, the animations were really cool, and it set the standard for like, this is the moment. You can't do these anymore because of DMCA, where it's like, I know we're going to talk about Ariana Grande and you could stream it a little bit, but this was before all the DMCA stuff and everyone streamed it. This was like one of the biggest things because one, Marshmallow was, they gave him his skin in the game. He played, because Marshmallow played the game, so it had this great tie-in.
Yeah, like, this was one of the first, like, what you would call Icon series events now, but this was huge because you had an artist, like, yeah, absolutely, I'll license my music to you, and that he got a skin in the game, and he got a whole cosmetics pack, and, you know, and the concert was 100% interactive, and the first one, he was live. Like, I don't think anybody's ever done that before in a video game where you had a live concert with the artist there playing for people in the game, right? Like, that was just, the concept of that is just mind-blowing. Like, it's insane that that happened, because, like, you would never even think that's a possibility, but Epic figured out how to do it. Which I'm sure it's not that hard, because they create the custom events and then you set it up in the servers and everything, but I'm sure there's a lot of back-end work with it. But this was just mind-blowing for what it was, because not only did they have Marshmallow in there and they made it interactive, but they were messing with like the gravity and they were doing all kinds of other stuff with it live in the game, in the goddamn game, as you're in there. So it's like, this is just, it was terrifying because you saw the power of Epic, but it was so cool.
I'm between Epic and Legendary. Where are you?
I kind of have to put this at Legendary.
For the historical value of it? Yeah.
For the historical value? Like, I know we poo-pooed the rocket, but this was like, just for what this was really cool.
All right, what's next?
So, up next, we have the Unvaulting, which is a combination of kind of two events. You had the, where you basically under Leaky Lake, they dug it up. Io, as we know now, dug it up, found the vault, and they opened the vault. And you go in game and vote, and you could bring back one item that had been vaulted. Mm-hmm. And it was the sword, the plane, the drum gun, bouncers, an SMG.
And something else. But also the Unvaulting led to the destruction of many different places on the map. Polar Peak, Tilted Towers, and Retail Row.
Mama Volcano had an upset.
It was a complete eruption. So you got everything with this like event. This was one of the bigger events they've done. And like the volcano just shooting off. And I'll never forget this. Like, the big moment happens. And it's like, oh my god, it's going to get destroyed. Tilted. It's going to destroy Tilted. And it destroys Tilted, right? But it leaves one building, the insurance building still up. The new construction building stayed up, even though it was destroyed every single time, including by Kevin when it rolled around the map. And it survived the Tilted explosion.
Which was a great little Easter egg. But that had always been the joke, was, is Tilted going to survive every time there was an event like this? And the answer was always, well, yes, of course, it's Tilted. It's in the branding. They're not going to get rid of Tilted. And they trashed both Tilted and Retail.
Mm-hmm. Like, because Tilted was originally going to be destroyed because there were, like, signs of its destruction, like, there were little pamphlets in the game that's showing it. So it's like, it's going to happen, but it never did.
Till here. I thought this was cool, but I feel like, to me, I would put this at either like a solid or an epic. I don't think this is a legendary.
I'm going epic.
Okay, I can go with epic. That's fine.
I have it above the butterfly effect.
Yeah, I think it goes above the butterfly effect.
But it was a cool historical moment. Because it then led to Neo Tilted and Mega Mall and everything like that. All right. Next.
All right. The final showdown. The mech versus the monster. This is legendary. This was insane. This event, like, you had a monster and a transformer fucking fight in the middle of Fortnite. And we're all just standing there watching it. And it's like, I don't know what to do with this right now. Like, this was just stupid how they did this.
It was fantastic. It was a pure drama, pure excitement.
The music was wonderful.
The music was great. It was very epic. I've already put it down as legendary. Because it is.
The fact that they made two 3D characters, I know it's not that hard, but they actually modeled and made a monster and created their own little like mini movie in the game. And you just stand there and watch it as the whole thing's going down was just so good. Like, this, again, this was something that you saw the true potential what Epic is capable of with this game. Because they just, every time they would do an event, and that's what we're kind of going through with this, it would just, they would continue to push the envelope with it. Because what was cool about this was after the unvaulting, and the Volcano's eruption led to the monster being revealed, where the monster breaks out from under Polar Peak. He takes the castle with him, or her, we don't know if it was a guy or girl monster, and kind of swam around the island with the castle on its back.
And then you had inside where the volcano was, the pressure plant, them building the mech the entire season.
Which led up to this event that the mech is our defender, and, well, we may see the mech again.
We don't know.
But it tied into Neo Tilted because the mech literally pulled a sword out from Neo Tilted.
Yep, it was a statue of Neo, yeah.
Which led to the single best hiding spot ever in Fortnite because there was a little pocket in the bottom of the sword that you could just get up in and snipe. It was wonderful. But yeah, this is legendary. This is 1000% legendary.
Alright, then we have the end of season of Chapter 1.
Legendary. They blew up the fucking map!
Yeah.
They blew up the game. Like, they took the game down for, like, 3 days.
A black hole.
They got us all to stare at a black hole.
Cypher PK made a living on just streaming a black hole for 72 hours. Yep, that's...
Like, that's just legendary right there. And then they launched the new map, and it was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Not much else needs to be said about that one.
But, well, I mean, I will say the way that they did the event was really cool, because you did another rocket launch, and then you had the full appearance of the 7.
Or some of the 7.
No, I think it was all of the 7. In the rockets. Like, you didn't see all
of
them.
Oh, you didn't see,
like,
them. Yeah, but yeah.
They were in the rockets, and they basically kidnapped the meteor and took it down to destroy the zero point.
We went back in time to what created Dusty Divot and Kevin and everything. We went back in time, and now we're in a new reality.
Thanks, 7. Ding. Thank you, Mr. The Foundation.
If you smell what he's cooking.
I think we're going to see him again soon, aren't we?
Maybe. If they can find him in the ocean somewhere.
He is in the ocean. Watch out for shark!
I'm going to say this next one. Underwhelming.
Yeah, this was the Live at Risky, the Star Wars launch. This is cool.
Like, the concept of J.J., was it J.J. Abrams, right? He was live talking in the event. It was cool.
I mean, it was product placement, right? It was a plug for Star Wars. Was it The Last Jedi?
I don't remember. I'm not a Star Wars person, so I couldn't tell you the movie they were promoting. But it was cool. Like, before the event, they were testing things, and they shout out Dr. Lupo in game and stuff like that. And they called Dr. Lupo and everything, and that was pretty cool.
That was cool, yeah. But yeah, this was a plug for the movie. We all got lightsabers at the end. You had the Millennium Falcon and stormtroopers and TIE fighters flying around. And if you're into Star Wars really, really hardcore, this was probably very cool because this was one of the first really big movie franchises.
This was the start of everything.
Yeah, this was like, hey, we've got partnerships. We're going to use them. And the first one was with Disney/Star Wars. So It was cool, like, the way that they did it, because they did a really good job modeling everything, but ultimately, yeah, this was just a little underwhelming.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan, but I'm not a big Star Wars person, so I could say the same thing. You know, we did a Star Trek event, it probably wouldn't have resonated with me, because it's just not my thing, like some people.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So, moving on, Travis Scott Astronomical.
This was fantastic.
This was so good.
This was, it's just legendary. Because it was a concert on the map. Like, legitimately, he became bigger than the map and just sort of transformed the world. And just following him around the map, him performing, and it was just great. All the interactive stuff you could do in the event, yeah. It was just everything. It was really cool. And I didn't know I knew of him, but it was like, I was never a fan of his music or whatever. It was really fun.
Yeah, it was a good way to have, like, everybody get introduced to him, and especially if you're not a fan of his music and you're not aware of who he is, it was visually good enough that it was like, you could just really get into it because it tied in so well to everything.
Oh, and it was also the first time in history, right? Mm-hmm. This shows the power of Epic and stuff. He launched a new song in the concert in a video game.
Yep.
Like, that showed the power of what they can do.
Yeah, just the platform. And other artists have picked up on it since, which we're going to talk about here in a second. But, yeah, this was just nothing sort of legendary. Because, again, they created the custom event. They animated it. They did all the cosmetics for it. Like, they really did a wonderful job. Like, Epic's modeling team and art team and design team deserve, like, all the things, because they just always do such a wonderful, wonderful job with this game and all their games, really, but especially because I play this one on this game, because they do events like this, and this is, all of these events are months, if not years, of work to create this stuff, especially for 3D modeling, because it is not the easiest thing in the world to do. So, hats off to them for all of this, because
I love the build up to it. Like, they built this little tiny stage off of Sweaty Sands.
Yeah.
They built this little tiny stage. Oh, it's going to be like the Marshmallow Man. And then he comes in out of the air and just plops down on the map, and he's 17 times bigger than the map. And here we go.
It's like, okay, all right, we're doing this. Okay.
we're getting astronomical.
Hey.
All right, next one.
Unfortunately, this one was a little underwhelming. Like, it was cool, but we didn't get to see because we got on a bad server, so we're a little tainted, but we're going to talk about The Device, which is the end of Chapter 2, Season 2, with Midas and the whole crew, where Midas basically has a device under the agency, and he uses it to mess with the storm, which originally would have led to Walls of Water being the storm for a week after the event, but they had to push they either moved the season forward or they pushed the event back, I forget which. So we only had to deal with, like, the Wall of Water for, like, a day, and I'm very thankful for that, because that would have sucked to have to do that for a week. Like, it was an interesting concept of having the storm be just these gigantic walls of water, and it was really pretty with, like, the refraction off the water.
But it was a bitch to play in.
But it was a bitch to play in. And this is what led to the flooded season. But this was just a little, like, it was cool because we got to go into the augmented reality and we got really introduced to Io for the first time. And they brought Jonesy in as a, like, speaking character. This is the first time that you could actually, like, understand a character in the game. Because this was the first season that they had the bosses, and they talked in really garbled talk, basically indicating that the bosses and the henchmen and everything else were not, as what we later learned, to be loopers. And so they actually exist outside of the game, and they were brought in. And that explained, like, the whole
thing
that there is another world outside of Fortnite that they officially confirm that it is an augmented reality. So
I say it's a solid event.
I would say it's solid. I don't think it's epic. I don't think it's legendary. But yeah, I would say it's a solid.
Also, we were, as you mentioned, biased because it didn't work for us.
Yeah, it didn't work for us, but it was cool. Like, the concept of it was really cool. It just, yeah, in terms of the other events, when we're listing them out, it was just so-so.
All right, next.
The Devourer of Worlds, a.k.a. Galactus, the end of the Marvel season.
This was great. Like, everything about this event, how, like, huge it was, how interactive it was, the music within. This was a really cool event that like, you got to be hands-on with it, and it's sort of become now what the theme is with events, is where you actually get to do things in them. A lot of them, you've just been watching and enjoying and spectating the event, but now this is, like, now you're involved.
Yeah, this was where you had all the Marvel characters come in, you got to interact with them, they hired the voice actors to voice them, you got to fight Galactus, you got to fight the annoying like, squid drone things,
Get to fly in your own battle bus.
Get to fly in your own battle bus. Like, this was... I'm gonna say this is probably, like, an epic to legendary, just because this was really, 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 really cool.
See, I'll put it high-end epic and not legendary, because if we're counting as a Fortnite event and the matter of Fortnite itself, this was Marvel. So, it didn't have as big of impact on Fortnite as it did, it was a Marvel event in Fortnite.
Yeah, but it was still really cool.
Oh, it was epic. Like, that's why this tier is there. It was epic. It was an epic event. Legendary, maybe in time if we do this again after more events, we may move it up. But right now, epic.
Yeah, it's an epic. It's a solid epic.
Okay, we have two more events left.
So let's talk about it. The Zero Crisis finale.
This was the start of the 16th season, chapter 2, season 6.
Yeah, so this opened the season, and what I loved about this is that every other event is with a server full of people. Mm-hmm. So you have to deal with, like, building, and you have to deal with people being dicks, and you have to deal with camping and everything else, right? Like, and people ruining the event. What made this absolutely just spectacular for me was this is a one-on-one event where you went in on your own, and you could experience the event on your own. What was also really, really cool about it is that it was interactive with the characters. Like, you were a part, like the Marvel event, you were part of the story. You were working with Jonesy to help Jonesy and Mr. The Foundation to stabilize reality. You're all three working together, and you're going around the map, and they use this as a way to intro the new cosmetics for the Battle Pass to kind of showcase some of the changes to the map. It was just a really, really nice introduction to the season.
It wrapped up what happened last season and brought in what was coming.
And we got introduced to, like, Dr. Sloan, who came in this season. And just, they did this as a really good way to push the lore of the game, which some of the other ones have not. And I just really, really like this. So for me, this is legendary.
I put it on the back end of legendary, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I could agree with that.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really high epic to really low legendary, but I just really enjoy this event because also what made this really nice was that you could play this at your own pace. So basically, if you came in the game for the first time and you didn't want to do it, you didn't have to do it. And if you wanted to go back and play it again, you could, because they left it up for like 2 weeks into the season.
It was very much a lore Fortnite event.
Which, you know, I'm all about the lore.
And then we have the Rift Tour.
This was a solid for me.
AKA the Ariana Grande concert.
I think in terms of concerts, like, this lived up visually to it. But just for the way that they did Marshmello and the way for that they did Travis Scott, this just, to me, compared to those two, does not measure up.
See, I put it on low epic because it was interactive. Like, you had your own Mario Party game inside of it. Or Mario Party, Mario Kart, whatever you want to call it. It was a really cool little mini game. And then there was that mini game, and then you were shooting on the plane with against the zombies and the Storm King. So to me, it's low epic.
It's a high solid for me. I can give you low epic, but I just was like, in terms of the other events, this didn't do it for me. Like, it was great for grinding XP at the end because you could get the little rainbow things. But, like, just for me, this was, like, this just didn't ring my bell.
So, I'll put a low epic just because I think it's above the Rocket in terms of stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely above the Rocket.
So that would make it low epic. So, that concert means they got our memories and everything like that. And that's going to lead into the next event in Fortnite, which will be taking place on Sunday, September 12th.
We have no idea what it's going to be, but it's going to involve aliens and a bomb.
Sunday, September 12th at 4 p.m. Eastern, supposedly, reportedly.
Maybe.
I can give you the name of it here in a second. So talk for a second.
Okay, so I'm going to talk for a second. But yeah, it's going to involve aliens and a bomb. And so we are coming in on the final weeks of Fortnite Battle Royale. Chapter 2, Season 7. I will be so happy when the little sucky face aliens are gone and the abductors are gone and the spaceships are gone and the aliens are gone. Actually, I shouldn't say the spaceships because the spaceships have been like really good mobility this season. Like they're great Ubers, but I'm just not into the aliens, and so I'm a little tired of the aliens.
So the attractions are set on the IO basis. Sloan has a plan to end the invasion once and for all. Are you ready? Operation Skyfire starts September 12th at 4 p.m. Eastern, reportedly.
Supposedly. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, it should be exciting, and we'll have to add it to the tier list at some point. But all of these events are top, like in terms of video games, are revolutionary because, like I said, Epic continues to push the envelope with these events. And you see their growth as a company in terms of their skill level and their ideas for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And really where they want to take the game. And they're kind of setting that standard and that bar for other developers where it's like, hey, this is what we're doing. Because before it's like people would do in-game events, but it would be like cutscenes or it would be like video and that was it. With Epic, they made them truly interactive. And I don't know of anybody else that's necessarily doing that. And I don't know of anybody else that really has tried. I think COD kind of tried to do it, but they really couldn't do it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the end, it was a cutscene that blew up Verdansk. Spoilers.
And the map still looks the same.
Like, there aren't a ton of changes. Like, they went back to the 1980s. That was the big, like, new season. So, versus Epic, they do, the map does generally look the same, but they do sometimes make, they do make changes every season. Some of them are bigger than others. I mean, like, for the Marvel season, like, they dropped Tony Stark's entire, like, business in the center of the island, basically, like 2 weeks into the season. And that's the other thing that I like is that they do the progressive changes throughout the season. So you have new stuff to find and new stuff to figure out. And it's just they what I like about them on a whole is that they really do appeal to everybody in terms of people who are into just the battle royale, people who are into the lore, people who are into more of just not necessarily the violent portion of it, but just the more like storytelling and the puzzles and figuring stuff out. And like, they just, they appeal to those people. I mean, they have their flaws, right?
Everyone does.
Everyone does. But yeah, I like it because it's like, I'm that type of person that's more into the lore and the storytelling and that kind of thing. And so when they do little surprises like that, it's like, ooh, thank you.
So with that, I think we're done.
I think we're done.
I said before the show, it's going to be a short show. It's one of our longer ones. There you go.
We can talk, damn it.
We have opinions and we're not afraid to tell them. Anyway, that'll do it for another edition of Rock Like Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday night, midnight edition, another edition of CBU Radio. SuperLive.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com. We're going to have our all-out preview. Basically, I'm going to let Brent rant for a while. Saturday night, midnight edition. Sunday night, they're taking off because I'm watching All Out and it's Labor Day weekend. So they'll be back on the 12th. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack. Check out The Rack Extra Reviews, Madden NFL 22, now available. A new review will be coming shortly. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms and wherever you get podcasts, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or Amazon Music. We're on there now. Just search The Rack Radio Show. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. As mentioned, it is September. You get 20% off your subscriptions thanks to Grubhub. You also use credit code ROCKINSOCK or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Wahahahai!
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners.
Which means when the new season comes around in less than 10 days, use the code.
Ding! Because we like it when people use our codes. Anyway, you can check me out on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWRD. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilms.youtube.com/mbg1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be back next week with another show. Till then, bye!
MaltTalkRadio.com.